number out this evening. If you'll take your Bible and turn with me to the book of John in the 13th chapter. We'll begin there in just a moment. John chapter 13. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song Brother David has suggested. And if you've never put Christ on in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can confess Jesus as the Son of God and be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. In the book of John, in the 13th chapter, begin reading with me at verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, and Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then if you take your Bible for just a moment, turn with me to the book of Matthew and the 27th chapter. And I want to look at a contrast in Matthew chapter 27 and look at verse 24. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." For just a few moments of our time tonight, I want us to look at two basins of water. And what I want us to do is look at a contrast between the basin Jesus used and whatever it was that Pilate used to wash his hands. And when you look at the difference, you'll find Jesus is illustrating and teaching a great lesson, and we can learn some things from Pilate at this particular time. Back in your Bible, in the book of John and the 13th chapter, I want you to observe that Jesus is washing the feet of his disciples. And I want us to understand that at that time, a servant was to do that, or an individual would do wash their own feet. In Luke chapter 7, you'll remember when the woman came in and she cried tears upon the feet of Jesus and then took her hair and dried his feet, that Jesus said to Simon, "When I came in, you did not give me any water." So it was not the custom of another individual to wash your feet unless it was a servant. And notice at this time, Jesus being the master begins to wash the feet of the disciples. Now I want us to understand that this was not an act of worship, but it is a good work. Take your Bible so that this is brought out in a very clear manner, and we understand that this was a good work that was done at that particular time. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, notice that when it talks about widows, notice what it talks about their works in verse 10. That if she is a widow under 60, old be taken in number, not unless she'd been the wife of one man. Now look at verse 10. Well reported for good works. Underscore that. If she's brought up children, if she's lodged strangers, if she's washed the saints' feet. So I want us to understand tonight that it was not an act of worship, but it was a good work. And in that day, it was the custom when you came into someone's house, if you had a servant, or if you did not, you would give water, because everywhere they walked, the roads were dusty and their feet would become dirty. But Jesus shows great humility. Jesus bows down. And Jesus takes the basin of water, and notice, my friend, Jesus shows great hospitality. He begins to wash the feet of disciples who had been arguing who was the greatest among them. And I want you to think about several things that basin teaches us. First of all, I see the basin of humility. I look at Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, kneeling and washing their feet and taking on the role of the servant and showing complete humility. Think about the fact he washes Judas's feet. And notice the Bible says that it already entered into the heart of Judas what he was going to do, and yet he allowed Jesus to wash his feet. And he washed the feet of Peter. who would deny? Now Peter begins to make a confrontation and say, not my feet, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. But then you remember what Jesus said to him, if you don't let me wash your feet, I'll have no part with you. And then Peter said, not just my feet, but my body. He says, wash me and make me clean. I want you to think about Peter said, Lord, not my feet, but my hands and my head. Make sure that I'm clean. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs to only wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. Now then, I want us to understand the humility of Jesus. And look at what Jesus says to them in verse 15. I have given you an example. Now, I didn't mean every time they went somewhere they washed feet, but Jesus said, I'm showing you one thing. You have the attitude of humility. I have left you an example. What's the example? That you should do as I've done to you. That you do not put yourself above anybody else, but that you have humility of heart. That you do not snub your nose at an individual. You don't walk like you're holier than thou, but that you are an individual that is filled with humility. But the second thought I thought about is I look at that basin. I see the basin of service. Jesus serves his own people. He served the ones who were following him. Here he is, the suffering servant, and he washes the feet of his disciples. He's willing to lower himself to serve others. Can you imagine that picture? Can you put in your mind the picture of Jesus as he's got the towel wrapped around him and he's going down washing the feet of the disciples? And then he tells them, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet in verse 14, you also ought to wash one another's feet. He said, I'm telling you something, you be a servant. When you're in the kingdom of God, my friend, you are a servant of the King. But then I want you to think about a third thing that basin teaches us. Not only do we see humility and service, we see compassion. Here is the shepherd looking at his sheep and he shows an act of compassion. The very feet he's washing is the feet that will run away in just a few hours. Take your Bible and look in the book of Mark in the 14th chapter. And when you come to the Gospel of Mark in the 14th chapter, look at what Jesus said in verse 27. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Now when they come to the garden, Peter at first pulls the sword, but what ends up happening? All of them flee. Now then, Jesus shows them compassion. Even though that night they would flee from him, even though that night the sheep would be scattered, Jesus still shows them love. But then if you take your Bible, look at the basin of teaching. Notice Jesus said, there's never a job beneath you. If I, your master, wash your feet, you wash one another's feet. Now then, let's contrast that to Pilate. When you look at Pilate, what do you see? Notice that Pilate calls for water to be brought to him, and Pilate does so to dip his hands, to wash his hands, because he was a coward. Pilate began to worry what the people might say or do, and when he saw there's no political gain but only trouble, he turned Jesus over to be crucified. This after you note what he says, that this just man, he calls Jesus a just man. He said, I find no fault in him. He doesn't say that one time. He repeats that statement time and time again. But Pilate was too much of a coward to do the right thing. Secondly, when I look at the basin of Pilate, I see the basin of convenience. Pilate did not do what was right. Pilate did what was easy and convenient. He gave the people what they want. He said, who do you want me to release to you? Jesus or Barabbas in verse 17 of Matthew 27. And you remember they said Barabbas. Pilate didn't want to release Barabbas. He was an insurrectionist. He was a murderer and a thief. He was one who had tried to cause problems for Rome. He would be one of the last people Pilate would want to free. And yet for convenience sake, I want you to think about what he does. He washes his hands of the matter and lets Barabbas go. But I'll tell you a third thing. That's the basin of injustice. Because he admits himself, Jesus was just, and the people never gave him a fair trial. And notice what he tries to say. I am clean. I'm not responsible. This man was trying to wash his hands of the responsibility. He said, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. But my friend, he wasn't innocent. Because he allowed the people to act upon their ungodly wishes, and he didn't put a stop to it, though he had the power to put a stop to it. But then I want you to think of one last thing. I want you to think about the basin of guilt. Have you ever thought about the guilt of that man? What a sin. Because he wanted to please the crowd. He wanted the people to be happy. He didn't want a mob to have problems on the day of Passover in that day. He didn't want a problem in Jerusalem. So he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to please the crowd. I want to take that. I want us to think of two or three things the lesson jurors. The first thing I want to ask is, which basin is in our hand? Do we have the basin of a servant or the basin of one who's trying to wash their hands of responsibility? You know, tonight there are a lot of people in this country, a lot of people in this land who are always trying to wash their hands of what they're responsible for. In our day and time, nobody wants to be held accountable. Nobody wants to be said, told they're wrong. And everybody wants to be a victim. I'll tell you, my friend, you'll never be a victor if you always play the victim card. Victors come from people who put their faith in Jesus Christ and serve the King of Kings with humility. They don't try to make excuses for where they are, but they try to better themselves by being in Christ. They try to follow their King. And they see it's a privilege to serve the King. It's not a burden. And I'll tell you what happens, and I'm talking to the choir tonight because you're here. When you see people make an effort to worship the King, and it's not convenient, and it's not easy, but they're there because they love the Lord. It makes all the difference in the world. But that brings up something else. How many of us preachers have been guilty of trying to please the crowd? How many times have we held back preaching what we need to preach because we're fearful the people won't like it? I want to tell you something, my friend. In gospel preaching, there's going to be times people don't like it. And there's sometimes I preach to myself and I feel the sting of it and I don't always like it. I've had someone say, preacher, why don't you preach to yourself? Every sermon I preach to myself. If ever there was a man that needed a spiritual spanking, I'm that man. But I'll tell you something. Sometimes we get mad at the messenger when we really need to look at the message in our heart. Maybe sometimes what's being preached is something that's hitting close to the heart. I've had some people preach things and it just cut to the heart. Then I realize, you know what, my friend? I'm mad not at him. I'm not mad at the message. I'm mad at myself. Because I know better and I can do better. One last thing. Have you ever thought about, my friend, those who complain because of service to God? You ever thought about how ungrateful that is to God? Ever thought about, we just sung about two songs about the cross of Christ. How can I complain when I think about what God has done for me? And what we need to learn to do is serve one another graciously and follow our Master, be filled with humility, we be filled with service, and we don't try to wash our hands of the responsibility God has given us. And we don't look for a convenient religion. We act out of conviction. Question. Which basin are you using tonight? Would you be willing to serve? Or are you waiting for someone to serve you? Have you washed your hands of responsibility? Or do you see that you're a servant of the King and you'll serve until He calls you home? If you need to make your life right tonight, we pray you'll obey the gospel as together we stand and sing.